All right, let's go ahead. Really, go ahead and start it. Okay, that's it. Now take it off, but keep it up there, okay? So at the end, I've got, all right, so you're not going to believe I'm going to get this thing done in 15 minutes, but I am. Luke chapter 18, verse number 35. And it came to pass that it went come to Jerusalem. Hey, I got to get it done, so. That as he was come nigh into Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. Verse 36, and hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passed by, and he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Here's a blind man, heard about the miracles, heard about what he possibly could get from the Savior, and he's crying out, have mercy on me. But he doesn't know where he is. He just hears the crowd. He just hears others that are there, that he hears the commotion. Hey, what's going on? What's going on? Somebody tell me. Yeah, didn't you hear Jesus of Nazareth? He's coming by. And he heard that he's the one that brings sight to the blind and healing to the lame. And so he thought, this is my chance. This is my chance. He's got to get a hold of the Savior's attention. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Verse 39, and they which went before him, before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. Making such a commotion. Come on, calm down. But he cried so much the more. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Lord, thank you so much for this story. Thank you for your power. And thank you for this man who responded in the right way. Lord, I pray that you help us to know where we can go and that we can cry out. And Lord, that you're the one that can help. Lord, there are people here tonight that are struggling with things that they cannot do. They cannot change. They cannot overcome. But Lord, you can. You're the one that can give sight. You're the one that can do the miraculous. And so, Lord, I pray that you help us to see some things in this story that would help us tonight. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This man had the opposition of the majority around him, the crowd, the populace, the management, the able, the ones who could see. When Jesus was coming by and he heard that, and he said, well, I'm going to try to get his attention, cries out, and they said, hush up, be quiet, you're making a scene. And so they were against him. There's no way he could win from this crowd that was around him. Because they had the advantage. If they really wanted to, they could keep him from Jesus. The only thing that this man had, the long shot that he could hope for was that if he could yell loud enough to catch the master's ear, and that's what he did. He didn't listen to the crowd. He paid no attention to the crowd who tried to silence him. He went on in opposition to his obstacles. Why? Because of four things. This is why he cried out, and why it didn't matter what they told him to do, he was going to cry out the louder and oppose them because of, number one, he knew that Jesus was his only hope. Listen, folks, if Jesus is not Lord and in control, we're sunk. I don't know about you, but there's a pitiful world out there, and we have no security and we have no hope. And if in this life, just the Bible says, that's it, there's nothing else beyond the life in which we have now, then we are of all men most miserable. But Jesus is in control. And the Lord is sovereign. And there is hope. And he does give us hope. If God is not sovereign and we're subject to divine opposition, then there's no hope because that opposition will silence us, will put us down or keep us down. Nobody gets their eyesight back. Nobody. But here's a man that thought, wait a minute, now Jesus does the miraculous, and he can do anything. And if I have any chance of seeing again, I want to go ahead and get his attention. Did you ever see like those YouTubes or whatever where a little baby has gotten hearing for the very first time, because that's scientifically possible when they can actually, I don't know how they do it. They replace the eardrum or something. And so the very first time the child can hear the mother's voice, and it's just, and it's heart-rending, isn't it? To see the child actually open his eyes and hear his mom or his dad for the first time in his life, has never heard anything, and hears that. Can you imagine what it would be like to see? After all of your life, you could not see. When somebody is trying to tell you, what a beautiful pastel sunset. What does that mean? What does that mean? Here's this flowers, yellow and orange and the blue waters of the... What is that? No concept. And to see for the very first time, wow. So this man cried out in opposition to those that were trying to hush him because, four things. Number one, Jesus was his only hope. He heard of the miracles, the impossibilities, and the long shot of being healed. And he said, okay, I'm going to try. You got to give it to him for trying. It was just a wonderful thing to hear this man say, I don't care what you want me to do or what you don't want me to do. I'm crying out. And he did, because he understood that Jesus was his only hope. Number two, he cried out because obstacles would keep him down. Verse 39 says, and they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. If he would have allowed them to win, he'd remain blind. There was no way. He didn't want that to happen, so he had to oppose those around him. He had to oppose the forces around him to get that accomplished. He cried out because he used the only thing that he had. Didn't have his eyes. He couldn't run to Jesus, didn't know where he was. He had his voice. He did have that. And so he used his voice. But he cried so much the more. Now, Son of David, have mercy on me. He ruled out running to Jesus. That's not going to work. He had no clue where to go. So he set up shop right where he was to become a siren. And man, he just belted it out. Can you see? What a pitiful situation. What a pitiful story here is. As he's just crying out, and they're trying to keep him quiet, and he's crying out the more. The only thing he has is his voice, and he's using his voice. He cried out because he felt like God wanted to heal him. He would not have cried if he didn't believe that Jesus wanted to heal him. But he believed that God really did want him to be healed. And so he cried out. Now, notice the answer to Jesus' question in verse number 41, when he stops and he gets his attention. Jesus said, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Notice that it wasn't to destroy or even rebuke his opposition. Those rats around me, they're trying to keep me down. Lord, I want you to just, take their sight away or something. No. There was something that he needed more than vengeance, those that were keeping him down. It wasn't to provide him with wealth that he could take care of a blind man for the remainder of his days if he had servants to wait on him. That's not what he asked for. It wasn't a Braille Bible or a C&I camel. It's not what he asked for. All of that would be a moot point if he could just see again. If he could just, that's what he needed. He needs to see. Okay, well, that's the story. Let's apply it. You have troubles. You have woes. You have things that you need. Now, friend, listen. Jesus can give you what you need. Other people cannot. Now, you can handle the small things. I understand the challenges and your career and those things that you can help and whatever, well, so be it. Go ahead and advance at work or learn that language or develop a winning attitude or all of those kind of things. But you have difficulties that only God can help you with. Say, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, everybody has different ones. I don't know you, and you don't know me. You don't go home with me, and I don't go home with you. But, you know, everybody has things that they're facing that if God does not help them with, they will not get help. Maybe it's relationships. People around you that you're in an abusive or a difficult situation. Maybe there's mean people around you or enemies that you're faced with at work or at home or in your family or whatever, and you're opposed and you're kept down, and you've got situations that you can't help. Maybe it's weak or sick health. Listen, if you don't have health, then I thank God that we have the medical advances that we have nowadays. I'm so grateful that, who was it, Doug was talking about this stone, kidney stone that he had was the size of a ping pong ball. I don't even think of that. But, you know, years ago, that would have been something, and he's here tonight, you know, so thank the Lord for that. I thank the Lord for, but you know, there's some things that when our bodies kind of fail, they fail. And so it might be your health situation. Maybe there's confusion in your life. Maybe there's unhappiness and anxiety and stress that you're facing. Friend, maybe it's sin. You know, we don't look at it that way. We tend to kind of downplay where we are. But maybe it's a lack of a spiritual desire. Failure on your part before God. Maybe have no pursuit of God. You want to. You want to be able to want church, want the Bible, want God's will in your life, but you don't even want that. Well, you know, that's normal. Every natural person falls into this category. Romans chapter 3, verse 10. As it is written, there's none righteous. No, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They're together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. That's the natural condition of every heart. Every person on this planet that inherits a sinful nature from their ancestors, that's you. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. Goes on and on here in this passage. Their throat is an open sepulcher with their tongues. They've used deceit. This really is God's evaluation of who we are, where we are, our condition. Verse number 19. Now we know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. That's you. You're guilty before God. Yeah, maybe you're acceptable in your circle of society, but before God, you are guilty. We're sinners. That's where we are. We're undone. We're short of His requirements. We miss the mark. We're a child of wrath, and we are, as Jesus, what He said in His words, we are condemned before God. And maybe that's you. And you know what? You need something from Jesus that nobody else can give you. You're sin-stained. You see, that problem, nobody or nothing else can help. Only God can heal a wicked heart. And I know He can, by the way, because I got my wicked heart cleansed. He's done that for believers that come to get a pardon. And you can get that pardon too. But only God can do that. It's when you look into the divine warning, an eternal hell for sinners, a place where you'll receive the just recompense of your ways, a place for the rebellious devil and his followers, a place of torment and pain, where your conscience, your conscious, if you go into that place called hell, is not a place of annihilation like the cults and people want to say. Well, no, if you go to hell, you just burn out and you're gone. No. The Bible says Jesus made it very clear this morning. We were in Luke chapter 16, where this man, he remembered his life, and he had his wits about him. It's a place of memory, a place of darkness, of hopelessness, an eternal insane asylum for sinners who refuse to take the only pardon ever offered. And that's when you'll see your need, when you agree with God, with your condition, man, you've got a need. And doing all the Band-Aids and the religion and everything else, that's not going to help you. You need the Lord. Now, that's what you need. Here you are. You're in a situation where you're blind and you're in that kind of a need. There's nothing you can do about that. Here you are. You need Jesus. And He's coming by. You have a voice. And you can cry out. You know, believers, sometimes we get in a situation where we're bound. We've got a stronghold in our life. We kind of dealt with this over at the man camp that we were at. What a great time. It was wonderful. But saved people sometimes have difficulties or problems or shackles or strongholds that the devil would love to keep you under, to keep his foot on your neck. You too, like this blind man, you got to know what he knew. Number one, Jesus is your only hope. Outside of the Lord, nobody gets victory over your stronghold. Jesus is your only chance of receiving a miracle. Only Christ can help you out of that. Number two, obstacles are going to keep you down. Even if they don't mean to, people around you and things that they don't mean to hurt you, but they do. What is your obstacle? Is it family? Isolation? Or maybe your history? Preacher, listen, I've done that before, and I've just not gotten any help. No, no. You've said words before, but when Jesus comes, he frees the shackled. I'm telling you that. Maybe it's your flesh, whatever. But obstacles will keep you down. You must know, like this blind man, you must use the only thing that you have, and that's your voice. You need to cry out to God. You can't pick yourself up or out of the problem, but you got to catch the Savior's attention. Only a mighty whisper is sufficient. You don't have to cry out loud. You can cry out in your heart. Isn't that wonderful? And the Lord hears you. See, because his ear is tuned on your cry. And what you need is you got to know that God wants to heal you. Casting all your care upon him. Aren't you glad that the Lord cares for you? You might not think that. You might think, nobody cares for me. I don't know anybody that cares for me. I'm all alone. No, you're not. The Lord cares for you. And you got to believe that he is. And he's the rewarder of them. At Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He is a rewarder. He wants to heal you. He wants to give you what nobody else can give you. He wants to give you what you desperately need. No one ever cared for you like Jesus. I know. Because he cared for me. He'll care for you. And you know what? He heard this man. He stopped, and he blessed him. Every head bowed, nobody looking for just a moment. Lord, I pray that you help us to